Hello and welcome to season two of the New York Public Health Now podcast. This is where we talk about the whys you could decide what to do. I'm Dr. Jim McDonald, Commissioner of the New York State Department of Health, and we're coming to you from the 14th floor of the Corning Tower, overlooking the Empire State Plaza here in downtown Albany. And ironically, as with every episode we've done, it's actually sunny today, which just, it's an amazing streak we're doing. We probably should record more episodes because the weather's always great when we record, which is good. So today our guest is Commissioner Carrie Neufeld from the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities. And I do want to first say hello to my co-host, Acting Executive Deputy Commissioner here at the Department of Health, Joanne Morin. Hello, Joanne. How are you today?
Well, hello. I'm doing great. And I'm really excited about season two of our podcast.
I'm excited, too, about season two. And I think one of the things we're going to see as we expand a little bit into season two is we're going to have some guests who are outside the Department of Health as well. We'll have some inside the department guests, but some folks who don't work with us, inside, but actually work with us outside. And kicking things off this season, we're joined by the Commissioner of the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, Carrie Neufeld, who enjoys the honor of actually being the first commissioner I actually met at the inauguration of Governor Hochul. So Carrie's the first commissioner I ever met.
That's right. Welcome, Commissioner, and thank you. Just to give a little bit of background to everyone, prior to the commissioner's current role, Commissioner Neufeld served as the Assistant Secretary for Human Services and Mental Hygiene in the governor's office. Before that, she joined the New York State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance as an Excelsior Fellow, eventually being promoted to Assistant Deputy Commissioner. Commissioner Neufeld also has experience as a project manager at the Mental Health Association of Columbia Green Counties, a child protective services caseworker, and a foster care caseworker, in addition to being a youth worker at the Waite House Homeless Youth Shelter.
That's an incredible resume, by the way. You have a wonderful blend of boots on ground experience, but also that strategic oversight, and that makes sense why you run such a wonderful agency. And I understand you went to Elmira College and you have a master's degree in social work. Social work is wonderful. You did that at the University of Albany School of Social Welfare. Our social workers literally do the Lord's work every day. So very impressive background, and thank you for joining us today, Commissioner Neufeld.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to kick off season two.
So why don't we just start with a really simple question at first is, what is the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities?
Sure. The Office for People with Developmental Disabilities is a great agency. We serve about 130,000 New Yorkers with developmental disabilities. We have great relationships with their families and their loved ones. And we provide really the whole suite of services for someone dependent on what their needs are, what their abilities are, and what they're looking to do. So we have Community Hab, which is, services that help people go out into the community, navigate the community, do the things that you and I do every day, grocery shopping, taking care of our home, interacting with our coworkers. We help people to become ready for and seek employment opportunities in the community. We have, an array of housing opportunities, starting with basics like a housing subsidy for people so they can live independently in the community. We have supportive housing programs. We have certified housing that ranges in the level of support that it provides as well, so that people, based on their need, can live in a home that supports their needs as independently as possible and as integrated into the community as possible. The emphasis on integration is really, really important for our agency. I think most people know that our agency was born out of the Willowbrook School and the closure of that institution, very focused on ensuring that people with developmental disabilities have access to all the same parts of life that the rest of us do and that they have the support to do that.
It sounds like yourself and your team are doing tremendous work at the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. Can you talk about what are your top priorities? And also, I want to ask, why is health equity a priority?
Yeah, we have a lot of priorities at the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities. We released a strategic plan about a year and a half ago. I think probably the number one issue that we're facing, the top priority that we have as an agency, is ensuring that we have a well-supported and large enough workforce to do the work that we need to do as an agency. So much of the work that we do, I would say all of the work that we do is really dependent on a direct support workforce, people who are out in the world, in our homes, in our day programs, working every day with people with developmental disabilities. Some people need very high levels of support. So, you know, total care, right? Help getting out of bed in the morning, help going to the bathroom, help dressing. Other people need less of a degree of support, but still they need somebody there. So we're a very staff heavy system. And I think like the rest of the health and human services sector across the country, right, we're struggling with workforce. And, you know, it's really the foundation to everything that we do as an agency. So that's our biggest priority as laid out in our strategic plan. Health equity is a huge piece of what we're working on. Behavioral health equity, continuing to grow in the way that we serve people who have co-occurring mental health diagnoses or have complicated, you know, healthcare needs. Those are some of the big things that we're working on. Housing is always something that's important to us, making sure we have adequate housing. You heard me mention employment. We're really focused on helping to make sure that there's employment opportunities or meaningful ways for people to participate in their communities if employment is not right for folks. Those are some of our top areas. We talk a lot about independence and integration and wanting the world to be open and available to people with developmental disabilities, but we struggle in so many ways with them having access to things like basic primary health care, preventative care, vaccinations, routine dental care, all the routine care that, you know, you and I go every year, two times a year, you know, to make sure that we're staying on top of our health. And, you know, it ranges, right? When we get to things like specialty, psychiatry, neurology, when people need a more specialized level of care, we struggle even more for people with developmental disabilities to have access. And when you think about people being independent in the community or having access to employment or housing, we can't even get there if we can't get people that basic level of care, you know? And I always use the example, how can we think about somebody having independent employment in the community if they have a cavity that's killing them every day for 2 years, right? And that's really what our system is facing now. People wait 2 years to see a dentist. People wait, you know, 2 years to have a mammogram. And we know that that's so critical in catching and preventing, you know, disease early on. And we see the outcomes for people with developmental disabilities, and their health outcomes are far worse than you know, you or I. So it's foundational, it's fundamental, and it's really, you know, it's an equity issue, right?
You know, one of the things you remind me of is when you see a health outcome that's different for one group of people, that's different for another group of people, that's called a health disparity. One of the other things you remind me about is when you're talking about health equity is very intentional. The reason it has to be intentional is if you leave things the way they are, you just make the disparity worse. And, I, you know, I think about this as, you know, I shared with you earlier, one of my own sons has some intellectual developmental disabilities, is on the autistic spectrum. And if we didn't help him get to the dentist, he wouldn't get to the dentist. If we didn't help him get to the doctor, he wouldn't get to the doctor. And it's one of those things where because he has parents who can help him, he gets to have that advantage. But not everyone does. So the New York State Department of Health does something called Commissioner's Grand Rounds, 2 hours of Category 1 medical education approved for healthcare providers. Do you want to talk a little bit about what was the motivation for working together to create that medical grand rounds? Because we did focus on healthcare access for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Any thoughts on that?
It was a great opportunity. We were so grateful to the Department of Health that you partnered with us and used one of your four grand rounds to really focus on this issue. You know, we started engaging with the Department of Health last October, actually, I guess 2 Octobers ago, October of 22. The New York Times released a piece, you know, highlighting a study that had just been released. And it was just really, you know, damning about access to healthcare for people with disabilities, not just developmental disabilities, disabilities of all kind. But it was the first time, I think, in a long time that healthcare providers were speaking really candidly about why people with disabilities lack access. And it just, you know, it was another opportunity to spark another conversation. And we came to the Department of Health, and you and your team were so open to seeing the data that we had on health equity and really on trying to dig in and work with us on how we can move the needle on this. And so, you know, through, you know, lots of conversations with our two amazing teams, you know, we've been pulling together lots of action items. And one of them was to really recognize that, you know, medical providers aren't providing services to people with disabilities because they don't want to, right? Mm-hmm. There's issues related to training, there's issues related to funding, issues related to infrastructure. And it's up to us, right, as government to begin to try to, you know, tease out what those issues are, understand them, and make whatever changes we can. And so I think the Commissioner's Grand Rounds was an opportunity to begin to introduce to the field, you know, that we're interested in moving the needle here, have a little bit of training. I think we heard from a self-advocate, which was really awesome to have a person with a disability talking about their experience. And we know it's the beginning of a lot of work that we'll do together on this topic.
So you were talking earlier about, you know, what happens when individuals don't have access to services, healthcare services, or delayed access. And certainly the outcomes aren't what we want them to be. Can you talk about, first of all, can you add anything more to that, just as far as understanding, you know, what are the impact of not having access to healthcare in a timely way? But also, can you talk about some of the innovative approaches that's sure. being used?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the issues that we see is, you know, people with developmental disabilities are far less likely to have, you know, to take their flu shot, right? We struggled mightily with getting people with developmental disabilities to get the COVID vaccine. That was a, you know, obviously an all hands on deck effort. Things like preventative and routine screenings for things like cancer, heart disease, diabetes. We see, obviously, we know people with developmental disabilities have a shorter lifespan, and they're more likely to have some of these chronic diseases, partly due to a lack of preventative care. We know that people with developmental disabilities are also prone to certain medical conditions, and so that's also an important thing, you know, for us to be aware of when providing medical care. I think some of the innovative approaches, and we're really excited about this, I mean, technology, right? I mean, the one thing about COVID that has been really incredible is that it's blown open the doors on telehealth and on remote technology to help serve people. And we've seen actually, you know, a DOH grant from several years ago, one of the healthcare transformation grants that was given to a group of our providers to pilot some telehealth technology. And it's a little bit more intense than just your basic sort of laptop and, you know, talking to your doctor. You know, some of our providers have technology or equipment on site with them, so they can do things like blood pressure readings and have a real connectivity to a provider on the other end. And then the cool thing is that that provider has been trained about how to work with people with developmental disabilities. And it's not just your typical urgent care visit, because that provider then follows up with the primary care doctor or follows up with the residents to see how the person is doing. And so that's just one space that technology has been incredibly helpful. And it's been great. I mean, it saves a ton of money in, you know, emergency department visits, because what happens is for our population, they can't get in to see routine providers. So they end up at the emergency department, and we're using emergency departments for routine care or pain management or, you know, symptom management, which is just really not the appropriate use. And so tons of wasted money in emergency departments. Emergency department docs aren't particularly skilled in working with people with developmental disabilities or addressing some of those communication barriers. So we end up seeing people get 5 to 10 to 15 different tests run that are completely unnecessary. People are having MRIs and ultrasounds that are just not necessary. No, none of us like to deal with that. But then you're a person with a developmental disability who's maybe sensitive to certain sounds or environments, and you're getting all these tests, and it's just, you know, it ends up bad.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So we're seeing lots of improvement, just the use of telehealth as one example.
Yeah. So looking ahead, what are important priorities and initiatives that the Department of Health and the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities can collaborate on for further enhance the healthcare equity and accessibility for individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities?
Yeah, I think continuing to sort of lean into these conversations with providers and hear from providers, what are those challenges? We hear a lot infrastructure. We hear a lot about rates. We know, just to use dental as an example, a routine dental appointment that would take you or I half an hour can sometimes take a person with a developmental disability 3 or 4 45-minute sessions just to get your one annual cleaning in, because they can't handle the sensations, they can't handle that time sitting still. You know, we know a lot of doctor's offices aren't equipped to handle some of the larger wheelchairs that people are using. People getting a dental cleaning in a wheelchair can be very difficult if you're not a specialized office, right, set up to do that. So I think continuing to hear from providers about what's blocking access, continuing to hear from people who are experiencing the healthcare system, what their experiences are, and just continuing to try to think about ways that government can do that. I think some of the things we've been looking at are rate enhancements for people with disabilities, you know, infrastructure type of, you know, grant opportunities for infrastructure improvements, which is, I know, something that the department does. And certainly, I think training and continuing to emphasize the need for medical providers to be trained in this space.
It's obvious that there's so much of a partnership, a necessary partnership between the Department of Health and the office. Yeah. You talked about telehealth as one of the advancements, if you will, that has certainly helped. But in addition to that, are there other federal or state actions that have been taken that you see as also helping us to advance in our abilities?
Yeah, we've had, in the past year, we've had two different designations of people with developmental disabilities as being a community or a group of people that is not equitably served, which is obviously a really important step, in getting us to take a look at this issue. So we're very excited about that.
You know, as we think about this podcast, so a lot of why we put the podcast, or talk about an important issue, talk about the why, so people can decide what to do. So why should the average person in New York care about what the Office of People with Developmental Disability does? Because you do great work, but why should people care?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people, either in their immediate family or in their network of friends and family, know somebody who has a loved one that has a developmental disability, or they themselves, have a friend or a coworker or a colleague or a loved one who has a developmental disability. When you think about diversity, right, and we think about, why it's important for our communities to be diverse, right, the different experiences that everybody has and what they bring to the fabric of their communities should be celebrated in every way. And people with developmental disabilities are people. I think a lot of times, if you don't have experience in knowing someone with a developmental disability, you're not necessarily sure, are they just like me? Are they not like me? But yes, they are, right? They want to be loved. Sometimes loving a person with a developmental disability looks different based on what their preferences are for social interactions. But they want that same. They want relationships. They want to feel engaged in their community. They want to have a purpose. And I think we all benefit, right? Whether we know someone with a disability or not, we all benefit when our communities are representative of all of our society. And I think at OPWD, that's fundamentally what we're trying to do, is to make sure that our communities are open to people with developmental disabilities, and that we're here to support them in whatever their unique needs are so that they can have that access.
Yeah, thank you. I think, when I think about what we've talked about today, some of the things that come to mind is we've heard about health disparities. People with intellectual and developmental disabilities don't have as good health outcomes as folks who don't. And that's something we need to work on together. How do we eliminate that health disparity? I think that's really important. One of the things you talked about today, it's so important, is health equity. The intentional work we do, not just with the Department of Health and the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, but really just every agency about eliminating health disparities, achieving health equity. In other words, making it so everyone has the same chances in life, and that's meeting people where they are. The other thing I just think about too is just how important it is when government works together. I think when government works well together, it benefits everybody. And it's one of my big priorities is partnership. Just how do we keep the partnerships going in state government? Because to me, that's really important. So thank you for coming over to Corning Tower and hanging out with us today. It's been great.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's good to have you here. So this is going to do it for today, for the start of season two of the New York Public Health Now podcast. As always, if there is a topic of interest you would like to hear us talk about, please let us know by email at publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov. That's publichealthnowpodcast@health.ny.gov. Keep an eye out for the latest New York Public Health Now episode on your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Spotify, YouTube, and Google Podcasts. Search by our podcast title, New York Public Health Now, or by the keyword NYSDOH. Then tap the subscribe button or follow button to be notified when we release a new episode about every other week. For New York Public Health Now, I'm Dr. Jim McDonald.
And I'm Joanne Morin.
And I'm Carrie Neufeld.
And thank you for listening.